following a rocket launch in December, a third nuclear test in February, the North Korean leadership has been increasing its blustery rhetoric over the past 2 months, threatening a nuclear attack on the US and declaring a state of war with South Korea. What does the North Korean regime want? And how likely is a large-scale attack?
I don't think there's much chance, if any, of a large-scale, unprovoked attack by North Korea on the South or on American targets. In some ways, this is the same story we've heard many times before. But this seems to be a little bit different in terms of the level of rhetoric, the specificity of the threats, and also the duration of this really kind of provocative language. It's been going on now for about 2 months. But fundamentally, it's a game that North Korea has played over and over again. And if you look closely at the language, the North Koreans are not talking about attacking out of the blue, for the most part. What they're trying to say is that they will defend themselves by any means necessary if they are attacked. They will counterattack with full force. And they're trying to impress upon the world, and the U.S. in particular, that they have greater capability than in the past in really inflicting damage, that they have demonstrated they have nuclear weapons, that they have missiles that can reach some distance, and that they will not be a force to be trifled with, that they can wreak tremendous damage on anyone whom they see as threatening or who attacks them. The North Korean leadership had a number of goals that are very clear about what it would do, not so much to impress the outside world, but for their own purposes, for their own propaganda, if you will, for their own people, and to prove that the new leader, Kim Jong-un, is an adequately tough and military-minded leader for the regime. North Korea's really extraordinarily belligerent language and mostly verbal threats has been a reaction to the UN sanctions, first and foremost. And this is also something that's not new. They said in 1994, the very first time the U.S. brought the issue of sanctions against North Korea to the U.N., that they would consider U.N. sanctions an act of war. And that was the first time that they used the term sea of fire. And they said that they would turn Seoul into a sea of fire. So the metaphors aren't new. But what is new is talking about turning American cities into seas of fire. That's not something that they've said before. There's also something that most of the media has missed, which is very important. North Korea raises the level of rhetoric every time there are joint military exercises between South Korea and the United States. And this has gone back to 1976, the first Team Spirit exercises, which led to a crisis not dissimilar to this one, in which the U.S. military was put on alert and it looked like the two countries might even go to war. Except in 1976, the incident was the murder of two American soldiers in the demilitarized zone by North Korean guards wielding an axe, the so-called Panmunjom axe murder incident, which was over, of all things, American soldiers trimming a poplar tree in the middle of the demilitarized zone. That tree trimming incident provoked a fight which ended up in the murder of two Americans. Probably was one of the three times that the U.S. and North Korea came closest to war since the armistice of 1953, the other one being the nuclear crisis of 94 and possibly today. So there are a number of things that have converged here to make this especially tense: the U.N. sanctions in response to the nuclear test, the South Korean-American military exercises, which always provoke a very harsh response from the North, and the anniversary of the birth of Kim Il-sung, which is April 15th. And that is also a time when the North Koreans feel they have to demonstrate their strength.
Based on what you're saying, it seems clear that the cycle of sanctions, the joint military exercises, the deterrence approach, over the long term, don't seem to be working. What steps do you think can be taken to pull the regime back from the edge now in the short term, but also to promote real disarmament in the long term? Or would we need to see the regime fall before any real nuclear disarmament could take place?
I don't think there's much chance that we'll see the regime fall in any foreseeable future. It's a much more resilient regime than many people give it credit for. It's survived more than 20 years since the collapse of the Soviet Union, It survived the death of two of its leaders, and it survived more than 60 years of sanctions. Sanctions have not worked in all of that time, and furthermore, the Chinese have never really enforced the recent rounds of sanctions set up by the UN. Deterrence is limited, and a show of military force always brings with it the danger of miscalculation or tension leading to open conflict, which would be a catastrophe, not only North Korea and South Korea, but the entire region. And a second Korean War could be very short, but it could kill millions of people. So that's something we want to definitely avoid. The only realistic way out of it, it seems to me, is to go back to negotiations, particularly between the U.S. and North Korea. And I think John Kerry, in his most recent statements, has said that the U.S. is opening the door, and that is a very positive sign. The North Koreans responded with a very negative remark about those statements, but I think that that's part of their own negotiating position. I think eventually North Korea also wants to get back to talks. North Korea has also said that they want to be considered a nuclear weapon state, and of course the U.S. and most other countries won't accept that. But we have to begin where we are, which is North Korea has nuclear weapons, and it's not going to give them up immediately. But at the very least, while the two sides are negotiating, the North Koreans should be able to agree to freeze the program that they're in. And that has happened in the past, in 1994 and again in 2007. And that is certainly preferable to them continuing to develop and to build up their nuclear arsenal.
What's China's role in all of this? China is often considered North Korea's only ally, but recently stance has shifted a little. We've seen it support the UN Security Council resolutions in February and March. These were resolutions that tightened sanctions on North Korea. Do you think this shift is just a short-term change for China, or is China fundamentally changing tack?
I don't think this reflects a fundamental change. I think China has made a strategic choice that they're going to stand by North Korea. They will criticize North Korea to some degree, and they will sign on to the Security Council sanctions, but it remains to be seen if they will really enforce them, and they certainly have not enforced them with any degree of stringency in the past. There are liabilities to being allied with North Korea, but the national interest, as China seems to define it, is best served by keeping North Korea as a buffer state against the U.S. presence in East Asia, and to maintain leverage over the Korean Peninsula and hence over American interest in the region through their ties with the North.
So do you think it's fair to say, as some analysts do, that it's in China's interest to sort of maintain the broader status quo, keep propping up the regime both as a buffer state but potentially also so that China itself can play a role not just as an economic power in the region, but also as a political and military power? And indeed, others say that it's also in the US's interest to maintain the status quo, since North Korea is a good reason or excuse to maintain the US military presence in Asia, its missile defense systems, and so on. What's your take on this interest in maintaining the status quo?
I think most of the countries in the region are invested in the status quo, so long as the situation does not get out of control. The Chinese preference, as I understand it, is to keep North Korea with the regime in place, but on a reforming path like China itself. So there'd be less belligerent, less military focused, and turn its energies to economic reform. That would be in China's interest. And that is what China has been trying to encourage the North Koreans to do for a long time. What China does not want to see is instability in North Korea, and certainly not a collapse of the regime. In many ways, what we're dealing with here is the post-World War II order in East Asia, which has remained more or less in place since the late 1940s. Unlike in Europe, where there have been dramatic changes, in East Asia, the U.S. still has a significant military presence. And for the U.S., it has to be said that the North Korean threat is very convenient for American military interests in the region. Again, so long as things don't go too far, it's very good rationale for building up missile defenses and maintaining U.S. forces in the region over the long term. The relationship between China and the United States is such that it's difficult for the U.S. to say that China is the enemy in East Asia, but North Korea is a useful threat against which American forces can be built up and maintained. That is not to say that the threat isn't real, but without North Korea, it would be more difficult to justify the extent of military involvement in East Asia.
So what does that mean for long-term resolution of the issue?
Again, we can't expect anything dramatic to happen anytime soon. We should at least be trying to keep things from getting any worse. And if we can stop the military situation from escalating, if we can get North Korea to freeze its nuclear program and begin to dismantle it as they had done in 2007, then all sides, including until recently North Korea, have said that they want a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula that will have to be tested. China has made that clear publicly. And if we can eventually build trust between North and South, between North Korea and its other neighbors, then maybe we can work toward that goal. So our immediate goal should be to de-escalate the current conflict, then to freeze North Korea's nuclear program as it is through a negotiated process, and then after that to begin to scale back.
Thank you very much.